Welcome to the podcast. I'm May.
I'm Max.
And I'm Ben, and we were had.
Can you believe it?
There are twists and there are turns.
Defleshed is a standard death.
Oh, that's fun.
We were had.
We were. Today we're discussing the Chicago Tylenol murders of 1982. Tylenol, of course, an over-the-counter pain reliever.
Pain reliever.
I'm not familiar.
Acetaminophen.
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 Is that different than ibuprofen?
Yes.
Which I am allergic to. So
really?
I am allergic.
So is my brother. So both my brothers are allergic.
Oh. I am allergic to ibuprofen, which is why Tylenol is my drug of choice. Mm.
Really? But Tylenol, I found, doesn't work for me. It's weak. It's weak sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
I just go Excedrin straight.
Oh,
yeah, that's the hard stuff.
Because that's, I mean, I think there's acetaminophen there, but it's also like aspirin and caffeine. You crush it up.
Oh, yeah.
And
snort
you just
it.
Snort that right up there. They're say goodbye, migraine.
But I snort mine up my butt, so I don't know how it's going to get to my migraine.
I just take the pill bottle.
You
I sit
snort
on,
it
I sit
up
on.
Your butt.
You know, in Wolf and Wall, of Wall Street, when he was like.
Oh, yeah, the hooker's blowing
it
into.
Blowing it into
was,
her butt.
Oh. He was blowing it into her butt.
Yeah. My butt snorts it.
What's wrong with your guys' butt?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened to the Tylenol, Ben? Tell them what happened to the Tylenol.
So in 1982, seven people tragically died.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting like a chunky boy again. I can already tell.
Listen.
I'm going to say, why are you acting like there's no way to fix it?
Yeah. I go, that's it. I'm done. I can't move. All right. What happened to the Tylenol, Ben? Please.
Early on the morning of September 29th, 1982, a tragic medical mystery began when a young girl, she was only 12 years old, Mary Kellerman, had woke up with a sore throat and a runny nose in Elk Grove Village, a suburb of Chicago. She told her parents about her symptoms, and they gave her one extra strength Tylenol capsule.
Mm.
And Mary was dead by 7 a.m.
Wow.
How long did it take then? She took it at what?
Probably like not long at all.
Like 12 hours or something like that?
Oh, no. Like,
a couple
like
minutes?
30 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because she took it in the morning.
Woke up, I guess, really early to go to school. And yeah.
Holy shit. And they bought this just off the counter?
Off the counter. Yeah. Wow. All these are just typical Tylenol bottles.
You could get it like Duane Reade.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Same day, 27-year-old postal worker named Adam Janis of Arlington Heights, also a suburb of Chicago, died of what was initially thought to be a massive heart attack, but turned out to be the same thing that we're about to talk about. He also took a Tylenol a little bit before.
Mm.
This one's really weird. His brother and sister-in-law, Stanley and Teresa, rushed to his home to console their loved ones, and both experienced throbbing headaches.
Oh.
No.
A not uncommon response to a death in the family.
And each took
a Tylenol extra strength capsule or two from the same bottle Adam had used earlier in the day.
Oh, fuck. They didn't realize that's what killed him? Or
they had no idea.
And then they died too?
And then they died too.
Oh, my Lord.
That's brutal.
That's a... Oof.
And those are the first four deaths. Over the next few days, there were three more. 35-year-old Mary McFarland's, 35-year-old Paula Prince, and 27-year-old Mary Weiner, all either in Chicago or Chicago area.
Was it all from the same store?
No, not from the same store.
Interesting. Mm. You would think that, honestly, that there would be more deaths because, I mean, people they do Tylenol like every single day.
My grandma takes, they do it. Grandma's a big addict. She's been taking Tylenol for years. We can't get her off the stuff. She does take it every day.
My mom takes it for sure every day.
Yeah.
She has it with her like at all times.
My mom too. Like all the time in her purse. It's rattling around in there.
Yeah.
Addict.
Rattling around. At a certain point, does it do anything? Can it wear off? Like,
I think it's a total placebo.
Yeah.
Effect, just like, unless it's this.
Well, unless
this
it's literal poison, but...
Cyanide works.
Yeah.
It's effective. Is it cyanide that was in there?
It ended up being cyanide.
Yeah. Okay, so how did it happen?
So all of them took Tylenol. They discovered that all of them had taken Tylenol a little bit before they died. Once it was realized these people had taken Tylenol, tests were quickly carried out, which soon revealed cyanide present in the capsules.
Wow.
And that's important, by the way, that they're capsules.
Right. Because
you can take them apart.
You can easily take them apart, drain out whatever's in there, and put whatever the hell's.
And back then, the bottle it's in, easy, you can just open that up.
Correct, too. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen a lot of episodes of Snapped about stuff like this. Are you guys familiar with the show Snapped?
And then they snapped? and did something?
Yep. So basically, it's like a bunch. It's a compilation of women killing their husbands, essentially. And you know, so I love that show. But there, but the a lot of women will do that with capsule. Like prescription pills. So
to kill their husbands.
To kill their husbands. At least in like the early 80s, 70s, things like that, because they would just swap it out.
Right.
So yeah,
and
the
it is
same idea.
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, aren't there studies that like when women kill, poison is often the
Yeah. Because we can't like whatever, stab you to death, you'd kick my ass.
Yeah. Not if you had a weapon.
Yeah, but like usually
Ben,
yeah, but
you're
we're
six something. I mean, I think you could a
you
couple
could take
of
a
you
knife
could, you could
away
take a quick
me.
Stab.
Yeah, I could take. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that women assume that no one's going to find out that they poisoned them. It's just like, oh, okay, we're just going to cremate that body real quick. Let's hop to it, everybody. You know what I mean?
How often are they not caught, do you think?
Probably like decently often, because there's also snaps that it's the woman's on like their third husband and all their husbands have died.
Black widows.
Yeah, black widows just go around killing people with cyanide.
Yeah. Or like I think you don't use cyanide. You like antifreeze slowly over mm-hmm. time. It's like an overtime situation.
Yep. Ethylene glycol.
Yeah, street name, antifreeze.
So warnings were issued via media, via patrols, using loudspeakers, warning the residents throughout Chicago and the area to stop taking Tylenol.
Yeah.
That's so crazy that they had to go around with loudspeakers. They can't just be like a tweet like, yo, cool it.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah. I mean, the
what
news
year
did.
Was this?
1982. So it did spread like yeah. wildfire on TV and all that yeah. stuff. But I guess like immediately after. They used
yeah.
pretty old school methods.
Well, you need them right now. Somebody in the field.
Yeah, yeah. Because somebody could be like taking it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. could you imagine? You're like, and then you just throw it across the room. Yeah. No! Is Cronkite still on the air in 82?
Maybe.
If he is, it's like the very end of his run.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I would guess no. Because by the time, so Moon Landing is 69, he already looks pretty old in that tape.
Yeah. Well, how cool would it be to have a news anchor you trust?
Oh, that'd be nice.
That'd be nice, huh?
I don't know what that's like.
I mean, other than Tucker Carlson.
I trust
I'm kidding.
Geraldo.
You're a big Geraldica.
I'm a big Geraldo. Everyone knows that about me.
I want to crack that.
Cronkite reported many events from 1937 to 1981. So this was the first year he was off the air. Coincidence?
Huh? Wow. It was Cronkite?
Yeah. I'll show you some news.
I'll show you. Now you'll listen.
Get me back on the air to report it. It's yeah. a weird motive.
Yeah. Mm. What? There was a Bond movie that was like he like held the world hostage to like grow his like news empire. It was one of the Pierce Brosnan ones.
When you're up
it was
to
a weaker
Bond
show.
Number 75.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it was that wasn't the one. That was also not the one where Denise Richards played like a astrophysicist, neuroscientist.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no.
Doctor Christmas yeah. Jones or whatever.
Oh my god, Christmas Jones.
So the tainted capsules were found to have been manufactured two different locations, Pennsylvania and Texas, suggesting that the capsules were tampered with after the product had been placed on store shelves for sale. And then the police thought that someone had taken the bottles off the shelves in the local stores,
right?
Placed potassium cyanide in some of the capsules, and then just put it back on the shelf.
I have a bad like idea of how technology has advanced, like when that came about, but like, are there store cameras in the 80s?
Yeah, great question. I mean, yes, there are, but not nearly as many.
Okay.
And it turns out not enough to actually catch who the guy was.
Yeah. So he was bopping around store to store?
Well, wouldn't have been one store. Yeah, exactly.
That's the thought, or is this what happened?
It must have been.
I mean, it must have been, yeah.
I mean, the guy's just in there taking bottles, popping in cyanide?
Yeah.
What a fuck.
I know. Deranged.
It's a real coward's way to kill too.
Yeah, and you don't even know who you're killing. Like, what a strange serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do we know it wasn't fucking Motrin? James R. Motrin. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was like a disgruntled Tylenol employee, and he's like, I'm gonna take this whole fucking operation down.
Okay.
I'm gonna relieve my pain for once.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the slogan. Yeah. And then here's the other thing that we were getting at earlier. In addition to the five bottles that led to the victim's death, a few other contaminated bottles later discovered in the Chicago area. So it could have been worse.
There were more.
Holy shit. All with cyanide.
Yes.
Okay.
How does Tylenol's business do after this, huh? Their
so
stock.
That's what's amazing. So part of what's amazing about the story is the mystery of it. The other thing is that Johnson & Johnson... the company that owns Tylenol, or, right. well, Johnson, it's McNeil Consumer Products, which is a subsidiary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Risque business.
Oh. It's like a, what do you mean? It's like a under, it's a company underneath the umbrella.
Meg goes,
company.
What do you mean? I don't know.
I don't know what a subsidiary is. I also don't know what a board of directors means. I don't know any of this fucking shit that I talk about on my other podcast.
Good.
So they are a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson. So Johnson & Johnson is manufacturing Tylenol.
Right.
Obviously, this is not their fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do you get Tylenol, which
right.
at the time was... you know, as popular as it is today, how did they recover from this and have people trust the fact to put it in their bodies?
It's kind of like Chipotle when it was making everybody sick for a little while. And then it's still like as hot as ever. I don't know how they got over that. But
I was still eating
dying,
it during.
Obviously, but
let me tell you.
Oh,
that.
Me too.
Brand loyalty. Like if I was, if I'm a Tylenol head, if Excedrin was poisoned in Chicago, I'm taking it here. You know what I mean? Same thing with Chipotle.
Oh, I'm not taking it for at least like a year.
Really?
Yeah, I take more. The danger. The danger
the
element.
Danger, yeah. I just pop it in front of people. Yeah. Danger's my middle name.
Yeah. So Johnson & Johnson received positive coverage for how it handled it in general. Washington Post said, Johnson & Johnson has effectively demonstrated how a major business ought to handle a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a bunch of things in order to get Tylenol to recover in the market like very quickly.
Their PR team was primo.
I was telling Ben when he chose this topic that like business ethics, my business ethics class in college, this was a big case study on what to do as a company, like how to handle something bad happening ethically.
I mean, they rocked it.
Yeah. They bounced right back.
And it's also like a lesson in terms of spending a shitload of money in order to
make more.
Eventually make more.
Yeah.
After other incidents, a couple other incidents happened in with Tylenol bottles in California. It was kind of vague about that. But shortly after the events that I described, a nationwide recall of Tylenol products was issued on October 5th, 1982. An estimated 31 million bottles were in circulation with a retail value of over $100 million, which today would be $268 million. So they
Holy
literally
shit.
Gave up
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, that much money.
Gotta
in
spend
order
money
to
make money.
You gotta, yeah. though. Because if they yeah. killed another person and knew that those bottles were out there,
yeah, that,
you I
don't
mean,
come back from that.
No, you don't.
Do you think there's a connection between like that it was all extra strength, not the regular strength? Like, was the guy doing a bit? Like, this is extra strength, huh?
It'll knock you right out.
This will do the job.
Yeah. And rather than going to an open mic to test it out, he was like, you know, it's actually a better...
yeah.
And you know what's interesting is also like my first thought when you said this was it reminded me of like because it's Halloween like the remember the candy somebody was putting razor
yeah.
blades in candy and that my dad was that was the first thing he said when I told him that was this week's topic
the razor blades in the candy.
Razor blades in the candy there's just something about people fucking with products I don't like it
it's so weird
yeah
did that ever actually happen or is that like an old wives tale because I remember hearing about the fucking razors in the candy but
I think it's one of those things where it really was not common at all it maybe happened once I think it like happened like once somewhere and then it turned into like check every piece of candy
there was I remember this
I mean there are a lot of perverts out there
yeah there was somebody like injecting candy bars with something I remember this story but I don't remember the specific details but it has happened before
It scares me with the medicine stuff and it speaks to I mean we gotta mention like people being afraid of the vaccine, not to mention that Johnson & Johnson vaccine was one of the ones that was recalled.
Yeah.
And ironically, cyanide, a very main ingredient of the one dose.
Well, that's all the vaccine. But
what was I going to say? So people that got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, do they have to get another vaccine? Like,
I think they had to anyway. It was like 20%.
Yeah, was it like void? You know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, this vaccine you just got had been recalled. Does that mean it's not effective?
Well, we know people that got J&J. We can ask them.
That's right? True. Yeah. Well, I don't think Laura did.
I think the blood clots help fight off after a while. Okay. All the clots are in your system after a while. They stay working for you.
I was talking to someone recently who's a smoker and... he was telling me that there are like articles that, and I think these articles actually came out pretty soon after COVID that says that
smoking helps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's not just something he's telling himself.
No, that's true.
Because your lungs are more porous or something like that. So like, I swear to God,
I believe
that.
You. Yeah.
So like the virus can't really cling on there.
Yeah. So cigarettes, good for you.
Good for you.
Cigarettes are good for you.
That's
no one
the shot
that
I took.
Coming.
The Marlboro.
So yeah, they do a bunch of things in terms of spending or giving up that amount of money, I guess, is the main thing. In an effort to reassure the public, J&J distributed warnings to hospitals and distributors and halted Tylenol production and advertising. So they halted it first and then they removed all the stuff.
Yeah.
Also advertised in the national media for individuals not to consume any of its products that contained acetaminophen after it was determined that only three capsules had been tampered with. J&J also offered to exchange all Tylenol capsules already purchased by the public for solid tablets.
Class act.
Yeah.
In addition to issuing the recall, they also work with the Chicago Police Department, the FBI, the FDA. They're just like very on the ball this. It also helps the fact that I alluded to before that technically this is not their fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not like they have anything to cover up necessarily anyway.
They're coming from a hero's position, and the PR team was like, we have a real opportunity to look like fucking heroes.
Yeah, yeah. We got to get in front of this thing.
Yeah.
And then on a legal level, product tampering was made to be a federal crime, which I guess it wasn't before.
You could do the cyanide beforehand. That was totally fine. It was frowned upon. Slap on the wrists.
It sounds like the difference is that now the FBI can get involved sooner.
Okay.
If something like that happens.
I don't understand jurisdiction whatsoever when the FBI can come in and when they can't. If it's a federal crime, I guess. But
I don't know.
But you can bring in the suits if it's like an especially weird crime.
Yeah.
Right? Anytime you can just call in the suits.
You're referring to like the Men in Black.
Yeah. Who are you referring to?
So, a lot of things just, this is sort of a landmark or sort of a watershed event in terms of capsules become much less popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are they even still around?
Not really, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Capsules. I mean, like they have like liquid gels, but those are not capsules. Those are just like, right. The only time I see capsules is like a pharmacy if they'll give you something in capsules. Like sometimes my medication would come in a capsule, but like those are like people behind the counter doing that.
Or microdosing mushrooms comes in a little capsule.
Yeah. In college, we would put weed butter into capsules. So is that what you're talking about?
Weed butter into capsules?
Well, it was too potent. You couldn't put it. We put it on a muffin and almost passed away. So I mean, you had to control it.
In 1982, it inspired the pharmaceutical, food, and consumer product industries to develop tamper-resistant packaging, such as induction seals and improved quality control methods. Also, product tampering made a federal crime. Additionally, the incident prompted the pharmaceutical industry to move away from capsules, which were easy to contaminate as a foreign substance could be placed inside without obvious signs of tampering.
Good. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's with the cotton? What does that do?
I think it keeps it from them shaking around and getting fucked up in there. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Like packing
little
peanuts.
Pillow. Little pillow for you.
Go to sleep, little angels.
You're extra strong.
So I guess now, so that's kind of the like businessy legal side of it.
Right.
Okay.
The mystery side is still a puzzle. And no one knows who the hell did this stuff. There are a couple prime suspects, but one of the videos that I watched about this were like, this is the American Jack the Ripper case in terms of just how, you know,
prolific.
Clueless we are.
Yeah.
And also like, we have no idea. There was nobody wrote a letter. It's fucking creepy that somebody did this and didn't want the attention for it. Nobody does something like this and doesn't like want people to know.
So
that's really sick.
So letters.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
James William Lewis sent a letter to Johnson & Johnson demanding $1 million to stop the murders. So this guy claiming that he's the one. Now,
interesting.
The letter was anonymous and it was sent and could be traced back to the Lakeside Travel Company in Chicago, which was actually a company that had pretty recently gone under. But they found the fingerprints on the envelope, which matched a guy named Robert Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to a manhunt.
Sorry. My roommate's getting food. Choke on it. Go ahead.
So it led to a guy named Robert Richardson, which turned out to be a pseudonym, and it's this guy, James Lewis.
Okay.
James Lewis, history of schizophrenia, has a track record, a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Police were able to identify Lewis using the fingerprints, but he and his wife...
Impressive for 82, huh?
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good police work.
Here's the thing.
Never say that on this podcast.
Yeah, truly.
Here's the thing. Lewis and his wife were living in New York City at the time. And it's very hard to reconcile.
So he did it as a bit?
So, first of all, I mean, we've seen this before where people, crazy people, claim to do these things for whatever reason.
Some sort of sexual charge.
Well, I mean, that's
implied.
You're inferring. Yeah.
That's what you would think.
Yeah.
Yes. Ish. Ish. Okay.
That doesn't mean that Lewis didn't drive to Chicago or had some other means of carrying out these crimes. However, he did have a motive to send it from this Lakeside Travel Company. He had a beef with the guy there because his wife used to work there.
Oh,
and
that's interesting.
Didn't get her like final paychecks because I guess the company was.
So he was trying to implicate that place instead of.
He got into a big fight with that. Right, exactly. So it might have been this brilliant.
Was he arrested
plan.
For this?
He, yes. So jail? He served 13 years for extortion.
Wow.
And he was paroled in 1995. He still remains one of the main suspects for investigators, though they could never find evidence. Lewis's house was searched in 2009. He and his wife also submitted DNA samples to the FBI in 2010. And I guess that came out inconclusive.
Oh, okay.
And he continues to deny responsibility for the poisonings.
Cool.
Okay. So he's just taking responsibility for the extortion? That seems like a long jail sentence for just extortion.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
13 years?
Well, you had to make
just
an example of this.
People.
Was a, yeah. come on. Let's be adults here. Yeah. It seems like, but this is a national kind of thing. They had to throw the book at him.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. And maybe it is one of those things where they want someone to be held responsible.
That's
for
like,
something.
That's the scene in the movie where they go, somebody's got to go down for this.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. He was going down.
It's James.
The other theory that is mentioned is maybe he did do it to bring down this guy who headed the company.
Distribution company.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, because otherwise there was something where it's like he was waiting for, like, a terrorist attack or something else where people wouldn't know who it was, something to frame this company.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of waiting, he actually did something.
Jesus.
And then pinned it on him.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
it's
like him
bad.
For it, but
yeah,
I don't know.
So he's still the prime suspect. There's a couple others. Roger Arnold was the second main suspect. He was at some bar talking about how it sounds like he was.
These guys always go out for drinks after.
Yeah,
yeah, right. They're always at a bar. Like, anyway, I killed that broad over by Route 128.
This one
like,
was
no
more...
one asked you.
This one seemed to be more of one of those where he's like, if I had done it, this is how I would have done it. You know, talking about cyanide and how it works. And then he claimed that he had cyanide back at his house. And,
well, who doesn't?
The bar owner named Marty Sinclair was the one who turned him over to the police. And they didn't actually end up, I think they ended up finding other things in his house, something
meth.
That made him in deep trouble.
Guilty for something.
Yeah, I can't remember. It might have been weapons.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that tracks.
Where does one acquire
cyanide?
Cyanide.
I don't know.
Because
is that a homegrown? Can you make cyanide?
No. I think you would have to get it from like a chemical lab or something. Like, I don't even fucking know. But like, it's not easy to get. I mean, maybe it was in the 80s.
Yeah,
but
you
it's
could get
like,
anything in the 80s.
Yeah, but it's definitely, you know, pretty fucking secure. Like, they don't just let anybody get their paws on it. So I'm wondering if like whoever did this had worked in a place like that or knew people that worked in a place like that.
It's interesting that they didn't, like, there was no Chicago area Johnson & Johnson employee that was a suspect. Some sort of recently fired. Or
well, I don't think it would necessarily. Oh, Johnson & Johnson make Johnson & Johnson. I said Johnson a lot. There.
Johnson & Johnson, Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, wait, is there a practical use for cyanide? Is that just like rat poison? Because in that case, you can get it from anywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is it just like the technical term for?
I didn't think it was.
Rat poison really gets you too, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a big skull on the
crossbow. Just let the rats hang out, honestly.
No, kill them.
I don't know. It's getting into like the organic chemistry of it.
Good. What is the formula?
The pigment known as Prussian blue. Oh, God.
Okay, whatever.
They're giving
you
the Greek derivation. What? Wikipedia usually steps up, but
they really give you too much information sometimes.
Sometimes I'm like, oh.
They get really sciencey sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like, who's reading this?
Who's even understanding this?
Certainly not us.
Not us.
Reactions, toxicity, applications. Okay, something in mining. Seems that there is some.
You can mine it?
Mainly produced for the mining of gold and silver. It helps dissolve these metals, allowing separation from the other solids.
Interesting. Hmm.
Medical uses. Murder. Cyanide compound is used mainly in clinical chemistry to measure urine ketone bodies, mainly as a follow-up to diabetic patients. But I don't know if this means that like they're just handing it out. Like I don't think some regular Joe on the street's like, let me check my urine ketone.
But a doctor might have access to that or somebody that works in the
hospital. Yeah.
And oh, listen, pest control.
Pest control. Pest
used
control.
In the United States to kill coyotes and other canids. Doesn't that just mean like dog related?
Dogs, yeah. The wolves.
Canines?
No, C-A-N-I-D-S.
Canids.
Canids? Oh, I don't know.
I believe that's the family.
Okay.
The genus.
The genus.
If you will.
All right.
Canid familis.
Food additive?
Food it's like additive? Birthday cakes. Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Who else was the suspect?
So to finish up this Roger Arnold thing, yeah. It doesn't seem like he's the one that did the Tylenol killings, but he got so mad at Marty Sinclair, the bar owner, for apparently ratting him out.
Right.
That he went to shoot him.
Oh my
and
God.
Instead shot another guy accidentally.
Holy
someone named
shit.
John Stanisha in a case of mistaken identity.
Oh.
And killed him.
Holy shit.
And then Arnold served 30 years for murder and died in 2008.
Wow.
So just an offshoot story of.
Just a guy.
Yeah.
Turning into a murderer. So he wasn't a good guy.
No.
No.
Sounds like a-
No.
Real asshole.
Speaking of not good guys, the final main suspect.
Right.
Ted Kaczynski.
Okay.
The Unabomber.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I?
That makes sense. Just
can
chaos.
I reveal something?
Mm. You're the Unabomber?
No, I don't know what that is. All this time, I would just go along with it when anybody mentions the Unabomber. I picked up some context clues. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the Unabomber story is.
Well, I forgot actually what.
I thought it was like
poison
in Kansas
they
City.
Used.
Was it not a bomber?
So Ted Kaczynski was like a, he was like an intellectual, right? Here, let's see.
Yeah, he was.
A
he
real
Harvard,
Kirschenbaum type.
I think he was a Harvard guy.
He was a Harvard
he was a
guy.
Harvard man.
Oh, John, my boy.
And he wrote a manifesto that a lot of people that I've spoken to are like, it had some points. That's funny.
That's funny.
American domestic terrorist, former math professor. Okay. He was a math prodigy, but has abandoned his academic career in 1969 to pursue a primitive life. Oh, yeah. I think he was like
he was
out
like living
in the woods.
Off the grid. And like communicating only to his family and stuff. And his, yeah, whatever. His brother was like, yo, my brother's crazy.
And it looks like he did a few things before the things that he's most well known for.
He comes up as a suspect for every one of our episodes that he was alive during. They're always like, maybe the Unabomber?
Yeah, maybe.
So all it says here is that between 1978 and 1995, he killed 3 people and injured 23 others in a nationwide bombing campaign against... Oh, right. It was letters, wasn't it?
It was letters,
it was like bombing, bombs and letters?
Yeah.
Like the first scene of Rush Hour 2? Was that Rush Hour 2? Yeah.
Exactly.
She walks in with an envelope and then the police...
Oh, or
blows
the
up.
Third Naked Gun. Yeah, they do it a few... Yeah. Naked Gun, they're at the Oscars, and there's a bomb inside one of the...
Mm. One of the Oscars?
Yeah.
Huh. It's interesting.
It's a Naked Gun. It's not like a seriously, like, you know.
Actually, it was a serious turn for the Naked Gun.
Yeah.
they were really doing a commentary on current events.
Okay, so the reason why Ted Kaczynski would have been a suspect for this is that he was in Chicago around these times. So... his parents had a home in the suburbs of Chicago, and the first 4 Unabomber crimes took place in and around Chicago. And as I just said, it sounds like his murder started in the late 70s. So this is all 1982. So maybe he just had a different method that he was using.
Trying out.
A couple problems that I have with that is they rarely try other methods, right? Like that's very like public.
Yeah, but he was sort of an anomaly. Like his brain was kind of crazy.
Did he do it for clout though, or was he trying to stay a secret?
He just, like, hated society.
He was trying to just create anarchy.
Create, chaos.
And he like, did write this like long manifesto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, I kind of like him for it, honestly.
Yeah. Which part?
I think the Tylenol. Yeah, I think the Tylenol thing he could have done.
Oh, I thought. Yeah. You just at a con for some reason I spaced out, and all I really heard you say is I kind of like him for it. And
I for just, the manifesto. I like yeah. him for his views.
Oh, I love that manifesto. Yeah. I have it on my bookshelf.
So it kind of adds up. In 2011, the FBI asked Kaczynski for DNA samples. He agreed to give the FBI the sample if they stopped an auction that the U.S. Marshals were having of his stuff. The FBI did not stop the auction, and Kaczynski has not cooperated. Mm-hmm. He's denied owning the cyanide. But
I'm sorry, they can't just take a DNA sample of a criminal? They book you.
Well, they have to give consent, but sometimes what they do is they'll sort of stalk people, and then if he goes and like gets a Starbucks, then they'll go and like retrieve it from the trash or something.
Yeah.
But someone like him, he's like, he doesn't go anywhere or do anything. He's like a recluse.
But he's in prison.
Man, the Unabomber stuff, I guess it's not a mystery, but this stuff is really interesting.
Yeah, he's wild. I saw some documentary about it a long time ago, and now I'm blanking on the details.
Good. Good.
Nice.
Nice. Nice.
Unabom mm-hmm. is short for University and Airline Bomber.
Hmm. He was blowing up airlines?
Is he why we have to take off our shoes?
No, that was a guy that had a bomb in his shoe.
That guy.
That was a shoe bomb guy.
There was a shoe bomb guy?
There was a bomb in like the fucking heel of his shoe or something.
Why are you pointing to May's shoe? I know what a shoe is.
Right there. See this see this shoe? So there's a heel on most shoes. And he tried to put a bomb in that. Isn't that amazing how people ruin things for everybody?
Oh my God. Taking my shoes off at the airport, you have no idea how much that irritates me. It makes me so angry.
It's very frustrating.
It also seems a little arbitrary because sometimes they're just like, you're on a line. It's a busy day. No, no shoes.
Yeah, and you're like,
well, it is arbitrary.
Yeah.
They know no, people aren't going to try that again. Also, it's like, it's crazy how like one thing changes the way we behave for the rest of life, the rest of society. You know what I mean? Like before this, the pills were just in there and people just trusted.
Exactly.
And then after that, you know, people are like, be careful. It's just like, one fox got to ruin it for everybody.
I mean, thinking about it, like if I was like taking a small child out trick-or-treating, I'd be like, this is risky.
Yeah.
People are fucking psychos.
People are psychos.
And I'm just like allowing this person to eat all this shit. And then I remember that one house on Halloween where you would just like straight up go inside. Remember? And they would like, I had a house.
I don't remember that.
There was a house in my neighborhood.
You'd sit on their lap and they'd just kind of tell you a story.
They would like straight up invite little kids inside. And then we would like drink cider with them and then we would leave. But like, and nothing weird happened. Yeah, but like thinking back, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
That's weird.
That's weird.
That is weird. No, I was in and out at every house.
Yeah.
Well, usually you don't go inside the house, but there was like,
right.
Yeah, there was one house, but everybody went inside, but I was in there with like 10 kids. So it wasn't weird. We were all in there, but like,
do you remember when Trump put the candy bar on top of the Minions, the inflated Minions?
Oh yeah.
That's one of my favorites. And then Melania does it too, just to like, they want to put like a candy bar.
I'm sorry. That was cute.
That was the funny thing. He's kind of on top of their head.
So what do we think of this? The mystery aspect and just in
like
general
it.
Reflections
like
on the, what was I about to do?
Do you want me to hold
that? I mean, it's definitely somebody that just wants to create chaos and fear in society. So I think a Unabomber type or the Unabomber is somebody who carry this out.
I could also see it being somebody in the medical field. We've seen a lot of doctors that end up being not good people on this shit.
Dr. Death, great podcast. Listen to that one after this.
Like a lot of, is that just about doctor murders?
Yep. There's a few seasons and there's like basically serial killer doctors that like they're not even like accredited. They lie about their accreditations and they go and like fuck people up and
like
in some cases kill people. Yeah, like my pediatrician. It's easier to do than you think.
Yeah, I guess. But no, I think I could see that being a thing, like a disillusioned medical professional fucking up these pills. I don't know. There's just something about it.
But
I see what you're
more
saying, but it's such a primitive thing that was done.
Yeah.
You know, maybe are you saying it because of access to cyanide?
Access to cyanide and putting it in medication.
Yeah, but it's like
Tylenol
and it's a capsule. I don't know. I just feel like this is not some It would be one thing if it was a prescription med, but this is such a simple over-the-counter
maybe
thing.
Someone really wanted to kill their wife, and their wife got like migraines or something, and then they knew that they bought the Tylenol there, but they didn't want to have...
Every single Rite Aid in a 100-mile radius.
I mean, it would take the heat off them.
That's true. Well, that does happen a lot where the murderer murders one person and is like, well, I'm going to murder four more so I'm not caught for this first murder.
Yeah, so yes. I look weird for this.
Yeah. So bad.
There's not heat on me.
I got to go over this theory again. So you're saying that, but how would this husband know which bottle the wife was taking?
He wouldn't. I mean, unless there was only like one bottle on the shelf or something like that. But I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Listen, we're all just throwing ideas, all right? They're not all going to be gold, all right? Let me ask you this. Do you think it could have been a woman? Because we've established that women poison.
Women do poison.
Women do poison. Women be poisoning.
They do be poisoning. Maybe. Maybe it's that same thing. Like there was a woman who wanted to kill
the flip. I just can't imagine. Could you imagine being married to someone and hating that human being so much that you're willing to kill six or seven people just to take them out?
There's a lot of cases of that.
Yeah, I know, but that is wild.
It's so wild.
Just get a divorce.
Just get a divorce, truly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeesh.
Yeesh.
What do you think? Your big takeaway?
I think probably it was the first guy.
Really?
I guess. It makes the most sense to me. Unless it's just someone that is not being considered at all, which also...
Yeah.
Then I feel like there would have been a deathbed. But I guess it's the 80s. That guy's probably... You think he's still alive? Or she?
I think that guy is still alive.
No, but I'm like, whoever did it could also still be alive.
Oh, whoever did it could easily still be alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the amazing part of this story to me is the fact that Tylenol recovered. The Chipotle example is a great one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with medicines... Again, as we're seeing with the vaccine, people are so skeptical to begin with in terms of putting something medical in your body.
Right.
I think people are much more reckless with food.
I bet.
Definitely. I'm like, what? I have diarrhea. Yeah. But who cares? I'll live. You know? Maybe I'll lose a few. Wouldn't hurt. So
open for E. coli every time I go to Chipotle. Do you think this is one of the first big things that like made people distrust medicine?
No.
Well, it can't be because medicine was so bad for so many years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
People are bloodletting you. I think there's got to be someone there who's like, I don't think this is working. Like, I don't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lobotomized. All that situation.
Yeah, not great.
Yeesh.
The Kennedy chick.
Oh,
remember?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rosemary Kennedy.
Mm. Rosemary Kennedy.
I don't love that.
You ever see that show? Zapped. Of snap.
All right. You know, this stressed me out. I have a headache. I'm going to take a Tylenol.
We were
big time head.
Big time head.
All right.
See you next time.